Amen indeed. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, dying and rising with Christ. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may increase? By no means. How can we who died in sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Before we listen to God's message, let us bow our heads and pray together. Ask for him to open our hearts and our minds. Lord God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for music as we lift up our voices in praise, as we express our worship and our love for you. Thank you for our children. Thank you for parents. Thank you for all who are here this morning. And specifically also thank you, God, for your word that never changes, your word that is as relevant today as it's ever been, even more so. So may your spirit open our hearts and our minds this moment. Take away the obstacles. Enable us to listen and receive your message for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever been there? And when I say there, you're sitting at your desk and you're starting and you're staring at your computer screen. And it's completely frozen. Ever been there? Nothing is moving, right? No matter how many times you click the mouse, no matter how hard you bang on the keyboard, nothing happens. The spinning wheel of death just keeps spinning. So at first you try the easy fix. You hit Control Z. Undo. Please, you know, just undo the last mistake. But the screen stays frozen. Control Z isn't enough to fix this. So then you move to the ultimate last ditch solution, the reboot. And rebooting is what you do when something goes deeply and fundamentally wrong with the system. You probably learned how to do it, not because you wanted to, but because you had to. And if you're on a PC, you hold down three keys at the exact same time. Anybody know what they are? Control, Alt, Delete, right? Now, the designers of that operating system chose those keys on purpose. Because think about it, to hit all three requires both hands and absolute intentionality. You can't hit that sequence by accident. And you don't want to hit it by accident, because reboot means you might lose all your unsaved work, an important email or vacation plans or a video edit or, you know, the best sermon you've ever written. But sometimes there's no other option, right? Now, the word reboot has a fascinating backstory. To boot a computer means to start it up. And it comes from that colorful old phrase, to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It means to start something from absolutely nothing. But if you think about it, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is completely absurd. Just try to picture it. You know, you crouch down, slip a finger through the leather loops of your boots, and yank as hard as you can. As a matter of fact, you know, I want you all to get up. Just get up for just a second here, and let's try this together, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just sit down. So if you would try that and you do that, would you end up floating in the air? Of course not. It only works in cartoons. It's Wile E. Coyote, you know, dashing off a cliff, right? Running on thin air until he looks down, realizes there's nothing underneath him, and he holds up a little sign that says, "Help," and he plunges to the canyon floor. How often do we do that with our lives, though? We mess up. Things freeze. And we think, I just need to work harder. I need to pull myself up by my bootstraps. But we can't. And sometimes the only choice left is to shut it all down, turn it off, and turn it back on, and hope for the best. So let's talk about it. What do you do when it's not your computer that needs a reboot, but your life? How do you clear out the bugs in your personal programming so that God, the Creator, can breathe new life into you? In Romans 6, the passage that Dennis just read, the Apostle Paul introduces God's ultimate control-alt-delete combination. Like a master systems architect, God has provided a reset routine for when all else fails. And do you know what it's called? It's called baptism. You type the following keys on the keyboard of life. B-A-P-T-I-S-M. And for some, the rebirth happens as an adult coming to Christ for the very first time. But for most of us, we were baptized as infants. And it happens when we remember and when we own our own baptism. It's taking up the promises that our parents made for us long ago, just like Andrew and Julia will be doing today for little Leon. We take up those promises and we make those promises our own. And when Paul tries to describe this life-changing experience, regular words fail him. And he uses an image that makes us modern people acutely uncomfortable, especially when we're looking at a beautiful baby. He uses the imagery of death and burial. Look at verse 3. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And that's unsettling stuff. But, you know, Paul digs the shovel even deeper into the graveyard soil in verse 4. And he says, "Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." Now, Paul isn't being morbid. He sees the death and rebirth imagery as a supreme blessing instead. And you know why? Because after spiritual death comes a resurrection. Now listen, we all know that sometimes life is a struggle. And we know that to be a Christian is to live differently from the rest of the world. We know that, as Paul says, we also must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. But sin, as we all know it, is not something that you can just put aside so easily. But there comes a time in life when there's nothing else to do. A time when our proud talents are all tied up in knots. When we know we can never extricate ourselves from the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. And that's when, spiritually speaking, there's nothing left to do but to press the control and alt keys with your left hand and hit the delete key with your right hand. And sometimes there's nothing left to do but shut down the old system. And it's a fearsome step to take. And when we do, we might even see that spiritual warning sign message pop up on the screen of our hearts. Are you sure? Because you may lose unsaved data. But we whisper, yes, I'm sure. Because we have exhausted every other alternative. Control, Alt, Delete. The screen goes blank. The fan spins down. All is dead quiet for a moment. You take a deep breath as everything hangs in the balance. But then you hear the reassuring whir of the fan spinning back up. And the screen lights up. And the essential data, who you truly are in God, is still there. All is not lost. Death in Christ, rebirth. You know, history is full of people with, you know, who only truly started living after they experienced a profound reset. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the French philosopher, was once knocked completely unconscious by a stray dog. And when he came to, he felt completely free of worldly anxieties for the first time. And he later joked that he never truly came to his senses until he was knocked senseless. Leo Tolstoy, at the age 36, was thrown from a horse while hunting, and when he regained consciousness, a crystal clear clarity hit him. I'm a writer. And shortly after, he penstroked War and Peace. Harriet Tubman, the great liberator, began a journey as a teenager when she stepped between an overseer and a fellow slave. And she took a massive blow to the head that fractured her skull and left her comatose for weeks. And finally she recovered. And she would suffer epileptic fits for the rest of her life because of that injury. And yet that injury was also Tubman's liberation. She survived, but that blow cracked her psychic chains. And a biographer wrote, she had already died once. She had nothing to lose. And it sounds like a paradox, right? To die so that you can live. You know, the war novelist James Jones once shared how soldiers survived the horror of battle, the dreaded fog of war. And he said, what you do is you decide that you're dead, right? Every soldier I knew in the horrors of war just decides, I'm dead. And that enables you to live. You go ahead and die So you can be surprised when at the end of the battle, you're still alive. When your life freezes, who can you trust? You trust the man who went to a cross, who died, and was raised to new life to the glory of God. We look at the baptismal font today, and we see living water. And we call it a baptismal font for a reason. Because spiritually speaking, it's like a fountain. It's a spring bubbling up from the earth. It's an underground stream running beneath the dry deserts of our lives, waiting to bubble up in our moments of deepest crisis. When there's nothing else to do but to trust the promises of Jesus. The poet Vincent Benet once wrote, "Life is not lost by dying. Life is lost minute by minute, day by dragging day, in all the thousand small, uncaring ways." Do not lose your life in a thousand small, uncaring, frozen ways. Don't waste your time hitting Control Z on a broken life. Hit the reset. Bring it to the Creator and hit the reset. Lose your life once and for all in Jesus Christ. Because when you lose it in Him, you gain absolutely everything. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we always try to do it ourselves. And all it takes is to admit our own weaknesses, our own inability. Accept your grace, your gift in Jesus. When we're willing to shut it down and die with Him, we at the same time rise with Him and have a new life. May this baptism today remind all of us of how we died with Christ and then raised to a new life. And may we live that new life every moment, every day. Amen.